Have you ever felt like a fraud, that you don't measure up to other people? In today's episode of Live, Love, Engage, we're going to be talking with international wellness expert Adri Kaiser about how you can overcome imposter syndrome. And when you're done listening to the episode, I encourage you to go to liveloveengagebook.com, where you will be able to pre-order a copy of my new book, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself, where you'll read about my spiritual journey and how I was able to use 4 divinely inspired steps to overcome imposter syndrome myself. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand. And on today's show, we are going to be talking about one of the things that I think that affects entrepreneurs from time to time. It's called imposter syndrome. And our guest is someone who helps women out with that. Her name is Adri Kaiser. So welcome, first off, to Live, Love, Engage, Adri.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Well, we are delighted to have you. And I want to let folks know just who you are, because you have quite the impressive resume. She is an international wellness expert who spent the past 15 years helping highly driven women stop feeling stressed and overwhelmed and start living a happier, healthier, and more fulfilling life. And using her enlightened alchemy method, she has helped thousands of women worldwide achieve everything from reduced pain and stress to increased confidence and productivity. And rather than drawing from only one modality, her extensive list of certifications, including NLP, coaching, and yoga, allow her to create a customized wellness experience for clients. She's also a brand ambassador. She's worked with companies like Athleta and Larabar. And when she's not busy hosting retreats around the globe in exotic locations like Bali, Greece, and Peru, you know, normal places like that. She's also been featured on iHeartRadio, Amazon Prime's The Focus, Thrive Global, and Authority Magazine. And she's also an author too, co-author of the best-selling book, Overcoming Adversity in Entrepreneurship. So that is a lot of good stuff. And I know, I guess one of the downsides of 2020 is, I imagine you weren't able to have one of those lovely retreats this year, were you?
No, but that's okay. I mean, I have my moment of like, oh, like everybody else.
Yeah.
But it's postponed to next year. So I'm going next summer and it's all good. Everything happens for a reason, even if we don't like that reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. As we're recording this, it is, oh my gosh, it's like almost the middle of October. I don't understand. This time of year makes me a little, because it's like the end of the year just flies by. It's like 1 minute it's October and the next minute it's Christmas. But anyway, what I want to, before we started talking a little bit about the imposter syndrome, first off, I wanted to ask you, how did you get started? How did you get started in the wellness area in particular? And what prompted you to become a coach?
You know, since I was a little girl, I always had this innate burning desire, it's the best way I can describe it, to make a difference. You know, I wanted to always fight for the underdog. I wanted to speak for those that couldn't speak for themselves, probably because I was the underdog. I've been told multiple times, you're not good enough. I could hear it. I heard it through my childhood. It's something that stay with me, whether I knew it or not consciously. Mm-hmm. It was my main driver. I remember very clearly being in my yoga training. I'm in a group setting and this person comes in and talks about a specific opportunity to work at a really fancy location. And she invited the group to talk to her after class if we were interested. That's the first, one of the many instances I dealt with imposter syndrome. Part of me was like, I can do this. You know, she's telling us, she's telling all of us because she probably thinks that we all are able to do it. But the other part of me is like, no, remember when you were told you can speak English very well, or remember when you were judged by the way you look, or remember when, so all this remember when, no, you're not as good as, but mm-hmm. guess what? So when I gathered all the energy I can gather to go and ask that question or find out more, this person goes like, oh no, this opportunity is not for you. It's for someone like so and so and so, as she points out to my classmates. So mm-hmm. I couldn't believe, once again, here I am, you're not good enough. It didn't matter how much success I had in my life. It didn't matter that I have traveled the world leading trainings and retreats and workshops. It didn't matter that I speak multiple languages. All I could hear is, you're not good enough too. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not gifted enough. You're not flexible enough. All this, you're not good enough. And what I didn't realize at the time, and what many people don't realize today, is that you're not good enough, or the imposter syndrome, all that negative self-talk that we have, keeps us in this emotional prison. The emotional prison that fuels that inner critic, you know, that voice that tells you or compares you to everybody else, yeah. That voice that doubts your ability to succeed, to overcome obstacles, to thrive, that inner critic that costs you so much pain. And for me, that pain led to chronic pain for over a decade. What I've been very open about, and I couldn't be open before, was that as a child, I was bullied and abused by a family member. Mm-hmm. She made fun of me. She pulled my hair. She beat me up. She called me names. And even though I buried the memory of being abused very deeply, my coping mechanism was to push harder, try harder, hold myself to unrealistic standards, probably trying to prove to myself and others that I was worthy, that I was good, but probably to make sure that I wasn't going to put myself in a position like that ever again. And just like me and anybody listening right now, we all have experienced painful moments in our life. And for some of us, the coping mechanism is turning to food, hoping that food will make us feel better or fill the void that we feel inside. For some people, it's waking up in the middle of the night, stressing and worrying about things they can no longer control, or replaying things that happened in the past, right? But the thing is that all these memories and all these emotions that we bury, set aside, put under the rug, hoping that out of sight, out of mind, when we don't assimilate these emotions and memories, they get stuck in our bodies. Mm. And they will affect our physical, mental, emotional health. It will affect your finances, your relationships, and even your business. So my journey started actually from the need, from the decision of myself saying, I need to find a better way to heal myself from this chronic pain, because I was determined not to live the rest of my life taking medication like I was eating candy. So what did I do? I took charge of my health. I not only focused on healing the physical aspect or the physical pain, I focus on healing the mental and emotional aspects of myself. So that's what I've been doing for the past 15 years. And over these past 15 years, working with my clients, I found there are four major components to long-lasting health, happiness, and fulfillment. And they are, number one, physical health, how you take care of your body. Right. Number two, mental wellness, how you perceive the world. Number three, emotional intelligence, how you experience the world. And number four, spiritual connection, how you feed your soul. So when I work with my clients in this very holistic approach, that's when we begin to see long-lasting transformations, not just in their personal life, but in their relationships, their business, their careers, their finances, because the mind and body are interconnected. So I got started just because that moment when I said, I wanted to probably find a voice for myself, but also I needed to I needed to stop letting the imposter syndrome, and I needed to stop the perceptions of other people's projected on me to be my reality. Because I realized that the pain of me not being the person I was meant to be, of me not fulfilling my purpose, my life mission, it was way stronger than the pain and the fear of being judged, being rejected, and being criticized. So for anybody out there, if you're feeling like, maybe you shouldn't do that, or maybe I'm not as good as that person, or who am I to do this? I hear you, I see you, I was there, and I know, trust me, sometimes it feels like this is never going to end. It gets better if you make that choice to make it better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can relate to so much of what you just talked about. I mean, even your story too, because I know I was bullied as a kid, teased, and I just didn't know how to stand up for myself. And in fact, my older sister used to give me a hard time because she's like, you know, why don't you stand up for yourself? And I'm like, I don't know. They just hurt me emotionally, and I wasn't able to do that. But until later, there were, you know, I came to a point where I finally was able to stick up for myself, because I do think that there is that we all have a spirit inside of us that realizes and recognizes that we are worthy, we are valuable, and even though outside forces might try to keep us down sometimes, there's still that light inside of us that wants to come out. So I'm glad that you were able to find that for yourself, and now helping other clients too. And I do think you're right with the mental aspect of it is so crucial for, I think, everything, and how you in you know, taking care of your body, and then being able to have a good business and or just family life. It all starts right here, right there. When you work with women, let me ask you this: Do you feel maybe that imposter syndrome is more common with women in general at first?
You know, that's a very hard question to answer. The reason for that is maybe women are more vocal about it, mm-hmm. but men also, they also have it, you know. No, I'm not saying every woman, I'm not saying every man.
Right.
But I think most of us, or a lot of us, have it at one degree or another during certain parts of our lives, right? So I think women, because of these old patterns, this patriarchal idea that men don't cry, men are tough, men are, so they struggle in silence. And I work with a lot of professional, high-driven women. They are very successful. And when I talk to them, I'm blown away to realize some of the self-talk or lack of self-esteem they have. And they cannot say it vocally or externally because they are in a position of authority. So they struggle in silence even more because they have to be tough in work, at work, or in this corporate lifestyle that they live. So right. They can't show any sign of weakness. And I think it happens for men too. So I don't think it's gender, it's a thing that happens based on gender. I think it's something that we all struggle with at one time or another. Now I can say that some people are more, have a higher tendency to feel that way due to specific experiences in their life or relationships or how they were raised or cultural beliefs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I truly believe that we all, at this very moment, doesn't matter what happens in our past, our story doesn't define us. We all, right here, right now, can make the choice to change it. I can give you an example. I remember very clearly, I was invited to teach a training in China. So I had to teach with a translator. Mm. And I have taught this material a million times. I know it like in the back of my head. But part of me was like, am I ready for this? What are they going to think of me? Am I good enough to be here? And all that voice, the imposter syndrome kicked in. And I've been teaching for a long time, so there was no reason for it. And I've done a lot of work. So I'm saying this because sometimes it sneaks in. You know, it's that moment. It's like almost like I call it a test. It's like, are you sure you're finished, that you pull the weed from the root out? You know, like there's nothing left. And I had to take a deep breath and be like, you know what? I can do this. And it went fantastic, you know. So yes, there are moments where we all got to be tested. And it's in those moments of challenges and obstacles that we get to choose and rise above. That's when you get to see how strong you are. I always tell my clients and students, you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only option, when you can know have any other way but to show up and do your work. Mm-hmm. So we all have it. We're never given more than we can handle, even though we may have our moments of, I don't know. That's okay. That's part of our human experience. But that's when you find, you know, the right support group, a mentor, a coach, family members, friends, the right people that are going to help you, elevate you and support you, and not just be surrounded by naysayers or people that pull you down. Because when you're doing your best and when you're doing all that you can, you're never going to be criticized by someone that's doing as much or more than you are. The people that are criticizing you are the ones that are projecting their stuff onto you. Right. So that their opinion really doesn't matter, because they're not playing at the same level that you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely. When someone comes to you and you can see that this is what they're struggling with, that they're having, you know, they're doubting themselves and they're not doing it, what's like maybe the first step that you recommend people take in order to help them to be able to appreciate that they can do it? Because I know sometimes it's hard, I think, for people to still, you know, it's like one part of you is like, yeah, I know, but then actually acting on it is different.
Yeah, so I work very holistically, just because from my personal experience. So when I the mind and body and emotions are interconnected, and what affects one affects the other too. So when I see people that want to concentrate only in personal development or the mental work, but they're not moving their bodies, they're not exercising, they're not taking care of their physical body, or they're not dealing with their emotions, it's almost like trying to sit on a chair with three legs. You know, it's not going to be stable. Right. So every time I work with people, I work simultaneously with all aspects. Mm-hmm. But more specifically, when I recognize that some type of limiting beliefs, imposter syndromes are not good enough or stuff is at play, there are two things I do. One, I begin with the physical body. As I mentioned, the body remembers everything that you ever experienced, said, done, eaten, slept, how much stress you have, how you deal with stress. So I give them stuff to start implementing right away to start taking care of their body. That also includes practicing yoga, meditation, Pilates, those mindful movements, because when you're working with a mindset as well and emotions come up to the surface, you have to move your body to be able to release and let go of all that stuff. Otherwise, those emotions stay buried. There's a reason when some people may be getting a deep tissue massage and all of a sudden they start crying, or they're at a yoga class and they start crying for no reason. And when I say no reason this way, right, it's because they may not know what it was, but that stuff that finally came up to the surface to be released. One of the things for the mindset that I tell them, what is called clearing the canvas. I define clearing the canvas as the process of releasing negative thoughts and patterns so you can cultivate positive mindset moving forward in life. Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody wants to make more money, grow their business, lose weight, find their soulmate, all these things, which is great. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, unless you do your personal work, your inner work, you may get those things and they go. So once you begin to really make changes in the narrative of your story, when you begin to really notice what type of beliefs patterns are running in the background, that's when you're going to see transformations. So one of the things that I want to explain to people, or I want to share with all of you today, is that on average, an individual has about 70,000 thoughts per day, 70,000, yet only 10% of those are original thoughts, meaning 10% are repetitions of the thoughts you had the day before, a year ago, and so forth, right? Yep. And the more you think about, the more it becomes a belief, and your beliefs become your reality. Also, your belief begin to affect your neurobiology, meaning your beliefs will affect your body, your physical health. It's incredible how you can see how your cells will react to the thought patterns that you're having. Mm-hmm. When I explain this to people, they're like, oh, I don't know. I would say, well, think about a physical reaction someone has after during a panic attack or an anxiety attack. Mm-hmm. You know, they get sweaty hands, heart palpitations, there might maybe gasping for air, or all these are very physical reactions to an emotional response, right? An emotional trigger. Mm-hmm. And the more you think about something, it becomes your belief. And that as you believe, you feel, and as you feel, you behave, right? So that's why when we are concentrating without knowing on negative things, that negative patterns leads to negative emotions, that leads to stress, lack of sleep, some type of imbalances in your body, and leads to action or lack of action. It's almost like being on a hamster wheel due to limiting beliefs that leads to the same action. So one of my clients the other day asked me, Adri, why do I continue to do the same things even when I know better? The reason is limiting beliefs, right? So until you become aware of what's going on, nothing can change. So one of the things I give people that can do right away, anybody listening right now can do it as well, is start a journal practice. And when I say journal practice, I see a lot, half of the room when I'm doing this in person, half of the room is like, yes! Mm-hmm. And other is like, oh, yeah, sure, uh-huh. Well, let me explain why this is important. Because when, as I mentioned, we have so many thoughts, we cannot keep track of them. If I ask you, Gloria, tell me the last 50 thoughts that you had. You're like, you might tell me 2, 3, but not 50, let alone 70,000, right? So when you begin to journal every day or every few days, whatever the schedule is going to be for you, you can go back once a week or once a month and read what you've been writing, and you're going to find patterns. You're going to see, oh my gosh, the entire month I complain about everything, or the entire month I complain about this thing, or the entire month I was doing whatever. So once you find those patterns, it's almost like shining the light, right? It's like when your limiting beliefs are running the background without you knowing, it's like being in a room that's dirty and messy, but you don't know because the lights are out. The moment you turn on the lights, you see the mess, you see the dirt. So writing in a journal and seeing those patterns is like turning on the switch, because awareness is key. You cannot change something you don't know that it's changing. One of the things I created as to work with my clients, and because everybody wanted it, I created a free PDF. It's called Finding Your Bliss from Limited to Limitless workbook, where it's super easy. It's a free PDF that it has a couple of questions and exercises to begin to turn on the lights. So you notice what are some of the limiting beliefs that you have, and then you can decide, am I going to do something about this, or am I just going to continue to live the way I've been living? Some people are married to their story. As much as they want to change the pattern, when it comes down to it, they don't want to change it. So these limiting beliefs, this From Limited to Limitless, Find Your Bliss playbook, it will give you the tools you need to figure out some of the limiting beliefs and then to take action. Mm. That's a super fast, simple. Oh, one thing I want to say, it has been scientifically proven that when you journal, you will begin to train your brain to see the positive. What many people are surprised to hear is that our brains are hardwired towards the negative. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. If you have 10 experiences today, 5 of them are neutral, 4 are positive, and 1 is negative, chances are that you're going to concentrate and think about tonight or the rest of the day, tonight, tomorrow, on the negative event.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what our brain does. So by journaling or doing a, we can call it gratitude journal as well, you begin to A, train your brain to see the positive. 2, it begins, again, scientifically proven, it begins to improve your sense of wellness or well-being and even self-esteem, right? And it also, when you when you enter a state of gratitude, I truly believe that gratitude is one of the most simple yet powerful practices that we can do, because it will shift your energy, it will shift your mindset, it will shift even the way you feel, it will change your biology as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And if anyone is listening and doesn't believe really how, I mean, you've explained it perfectly about how our emotions really do affect our body, but Google the water experiment, because there was, you know, I loved the first time I heard about this years ago, I was just blown away, but someone, they found that, what was it, ice crystals, I think, or something, that if they talk to them in a certain way with, you know, loving words, the chemical composition changed. It just, they created these beautiful crystals, whereas opposed to if they were, you know, talking negatively about them, it was, you know, just all, you know, jumbled up. And I think they've done this with like plants even too, you know, kids talking nice to plants and seeing them grow and then, you know, kids ignoring them or whatever, and then they die. So it's, we're all based on our heart and mind are connected. And in fact, it's even been shown that our heart has like neurons in it that, that really does send messages out to the rest of the body. And so if your heart is sad and, you know, upset, then of course that's what's going to get translated into your body as well.
I love that you mentioned that because it is true. People think we live in today's world, we live in our brains, thinking mm-hmm. that the brain is the one in charge of the whole everything, right?
Right.
But the truth is that the energetic field around the heart is 60 times larger than the brain. And the heart sends signals to the heart, to the brain, for the brain then to do the hormones and release all these different things in the body. So right there, we can realize that the heart sends information to the brain and the brain then acts. The other thing is that people think that we only have feelings in our chest, in our heart, right? But we experience feelings throughout the entire body. Yeah. That's why it's very important as well to not only think about eating healthy and exercise, which is great. Yes, those are fantastic things to help improve your physical health, mm-hmm. but that's not enough, right? You need to also practice self-care. You also have to figure out ways to manage stress in healthy ways. But in addition, let me go deeper in this. When I mention self-care, people think massages, getting my hair done, nails done, right. Or this is a luxury. For me, especially for any business owners out there, self-care is mandatory. It's a necessity. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity, right? Why? Because self-care is not just about massages and day spa and all this stuff, which all are great. But self-care is also saying no. Is setting boundaries, is right. doing some of the dirty work, which means like doing, you know, figuring it out. What are some of the stuff, the baggage that you've been carrying, or doing the inner work and facing stuff that you don't want to face, or managing your checking account. You know, all these different things are part of self-care. But in addition to that, it's realizing that what you watch on TV, what you read, the music you listen to, the people you surround yourself with, how you even keep your environment, all that affects your energetic being, mind, body, and emotions. If you are in a room that's cluttered, that is heavy, it's going to be hard for you to concentrate and feel good. But if you are in a room that's clean and light and vibrant and airy, then you feel the same way as well. So that it's not just mind, body, and emotions and spiritual connection, but it's also our surroundings will affect us. And our inner world will be reflected, or our external world will reflect back what's happening in our inner world. So when you work on yourself to change and improve yourself, your outside world also improves as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually, it's funny. It was like last week, I actually took some time and cleaned off my desk because it had gotten way too cluttered. And I had all these folders on the corner. And so I actually have a book on feng shui. And so I use that. And it's like, it just feels so much better now. It's, you know, I just have a few things on there and they're things that I like and that make me happy. And it's so much better. And it really does. It's like, I can be more productive now because of just changing those little things in the environment. Oh, and one other thing too, the journaling, I so agree. And it is so important. I actually haven't heard anybody really talk about reviewing it before. And so I love that you said to do that, to go back in and want and look at the patterns. It's so funny. I actually stumbled across an old notebook today. It was actually had a lot of stuff about my kids when they were little. But then I found one page in there of, and this was from 2008, talking about me and my weight. And like, oh, you know, why am I, you know, when am I ever going to, I really don't want to put this weight back on. And I really enjoy being a size six and or something rather. And I was like, ah, yeah, interesting. So I've gotten better with that, but it's, but it is interesting that that is definitely, I know I've probably journaled about my weight for years and years because I've had issues with that. And still occasionally, getting better and I'm being more intentional with, you know, doing all the things that you were kind of talking about today and paying attention to that.
And some people don't realize that the weight gain, sometimes it's not about how much you eat, it's also emotional.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are carrying weight as a protection mechanism. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's all that burden that people carry that keeps them from losing weight. And once they let go of that, the pounds begin to come off the body. It's incredible. So yeah. They're amazing. Again, the mind, body, and emotions are connected. And one what affects one will affect the other too. So when you start working in one area and simultaneously or soon enough start working on the other, they begin to help each other.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you and I'm curious about is what of everything that you do, what is your favorite? What lights you up the most about what you do?
It's such a hard question because for me, it's been an evolution. You know, it was like a stepping stone. And I started because of my chronic pain. I don't know if I mentioned this. So my chronic pain of over a decade, even though it was very physical, it was 100% emotional. Mm. You know, it was those years of being of very memories and emotions of being abused. And then when I moved to the U.S. and being singled out and profiled by the way I looked and sounded and being called stupid, ignorant immigrant, even though I went to law school for a couple of years, mm-hmm. You know, so all the things that I suppressed and repressed were in my low back. And I know this because when I was playing with my son, he was about 7 or 8 years old. And something triggered all those memories because I didn't live my life thinking, oh, poor me, I was abused and talk about it. I completely, completely blocked it out. Mm. So when those memories came up, my entire back went like boom, like it was, I could see the correlation.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, I started practicing yoga to help me find relief from pain. But yoga helped me not only with pain, but then it took me to all these different paths, which is coaching, NLP, Ayurveda, crystals, essential oils. And all the stuff I got gathered in my arsenal were things and tools I used to heal myself. Mm. So when you ask me what's my favorite, it's really hard. Like I can tell you, I love teaching. I love teaching yoga. I love teaching about topics that are related to mindset and wellness and coaching. So teaching is my passion. And when it comes to sharing and teaching about mind, body, and emotions and spiritual wellness, that's my passion. So sometimes people come to me for yoga because they know me and they know me. I've been doing this for a long time. But when they're ready for more, they start getting other stuff. Even though in my own yoga classes, I still teach. My style is very unique, and that's why I call it enlightened alchemy, because it's a combination of physical and energetic alignment, positive psychology, NLP, Ayurveda tools, Pilates stuff, and energy work. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's what helped me. That's what has helped many of my students and clients. So it's almost like asking me, what's your favorite child? But I can say, teaching yoga makes me come alive, but coaching also makes me come alive. It's just seeing firsthand the transformation that happens. That's what wake up in the morning every day. Like, I'm so grateful and excited that my journey has taken me here. I always wanted, as I said, when I was 5 years old, I wanted to make a positive difference in people's life. And for a while, I thought it was through law school, which it didn't happen because I moved here to the US. But I ended up doing that just in a different way. Mm-hmm. And my back pain, do I want it back? No. But it was such a blessing in disguise because it led me to really find my voice, find my passion, heal myself, and then turn it around and help others in the process.
Absolutely. Well, that it totally makes sense. And I think, you know, being that you enjoy doing the yoga and coaching, really, I think they're both about creating transformations in people. So I think that's ultimately what your favorite thing is, I suspect.
Yes. Which way comes, I don't know, but yes, it's through movement. It's through mind, body, and movement. Yeah. I call it, you know, let's not call it yoga. Let's call it movement medicine. Because some people, when they hear the word yoga, they think, oh, I'm not flexible enough. I'm too old. I'm too this. I'm too that. But again, the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So let's call it movement medicine, right? Because it's about moving your body so you can really feel better about yourself, so you can really let go of some of those heavy burdens that you've been carrying, so you can let go of the negative self-talk, so you can change the story that you're telling yourself, so you can really boost your immune system and love your body. And so the medicine movement or the movement medicine is all about inner healing. So it's not about, hey, let me exercise to get ripped, which is fantastic if that's your goal, great. But more than that, you know.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier the PDF that you have for people. So how can folks get that if they want to be able to?
Yes, I can send you the link. But also, if they go to my website, adrikaiser.com/free-gifts, they should get it in there. adrikaiser.com/free-gifts. They should have some free resources in there. It's been very powerful for people. I recommend that once you find some of these limiting beliefs, then take action, because nothing will change unless you decide to change. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is power. So once you gain that knowledge, then action is the next step, right? And the next step is either doing your personal work, is either getting those groups, those programs that you need to be getting, hiring a mentor, a coach, finding somebody to help you. But I will highly suggest as well to find some movement that is medicine for your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I one of the things I miss is that I used to dance when I was a kid, and I took ballet, tap, and jazz. And I know a couple of months ago, I was doing something and I wound up cleaning my office. Yeah, and I put on some music, and then I wound up, once the office was cleaned, I wound up dancing around my office, and it was so much fun just to do that. And I forget how much I enjoy that. And once we get done with all this social distancing and mask wearing outside, I would love to be able to find some place where I can go dance, because I don't really want to dance with a mask on. So, so hopefully we'll be able to do that next year sometime. Let's see. One other thing that I wanted to ask you about is, now you mentioned that you're looking at doing some retreats next year. And how do you generally work with people? Do you do you work with folks one-on-one, or do you do group programs or combination? Or
I do a combination. So yes, I have some private clients. I have some group coaching programs online. I have an online studio with yoga, Pilates, and meditation classes, and energy work. So when I work with my clients, as I mentioned, it's all comprehensive, right? It's holistic. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world. Even if we're doing one-on-one or group coaching, I give you access to my online studio so you move your body. We do mindset work. We do NLP work. We do energy work, we do meditations, we do all these different things according to what my approach is. Very customized. So once, and I move very intuitively. So it's not like one size fits all. Even when we do group programs, it's customized to the people in the group. So it is very interesting to see there are times where I have multiple clients in a week and they don't even know each other. And the theme of the sessions, of the scenes that they're sharing with me, they tend to be similar. So let's say imposter syndrome. I may see five people this week and all of them are going to be talking about imposter syndrome. So it's very interesting how that happens. But yes, I work with them online. Many of them come to my retreats. Next year, we're going to Santorini in India. So every place changes. So according to what they want to do, they have definitely access to me in many, many ways.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you being here and sharing your lovely energy that you have, and as well as the information that you shared with us and all of our listeners and viewers on YouTube. I really appreciate it. It was a breath of fresh air, and I know that you have, I'm sure, helped some folks out there today. And as well, just a reminder, everyone, to make sure that you go to Adri's website. I will have that information in the show notes. So thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And everybody out there, you know, you have what it takes. All you need is to make a decision. Even no making a decision is making a decision, right? So if it's not now, when, right? We always say, I will do this when that happens. I will do that when that happens. Well, what about if we start today, one foot in front of the other, right? The 10,000 step journey started with the first single step. So today, you make the decision to make yourself a priority, to take charge of your physical, mental, and emotional health, because you're worthy, you're deserving. Stop comparing yourself to others because you're unique. No one else is like you. So the world needs more people like you.
Absolutely. That is for sure. I couldn't have said it better myself. So take that to heart. And because now there is no better time than right now to do that. So thank you all for watching. I hope you'll tune in to our next episode. And until that time, as always, I encourage you to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.